Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
How I yearned to sing it, still I was afraid. Guess I feared they'd call me weird and mock the songs I made. So I shut my pie hole and hid my work away.
But you had dreams.
And in my dreams, this is what I play. Listen up, if you please, listen to my melody.
Folks, she wrote every note,
so listen up. I kept my song a secret, but carved it on this club. Waiting till the perfect moment came. For my art, years and years of doubts and fears.
It's time to heed your heart.
I can end this curse now. If I can end this song,
like in your dreams.
But in my dreams, you all must sing along.
Hello and welcome back to Patreon with Cheese. I'm joined as always by my complacent buddy, Elizabeth Esten. How are you doing, Liz?
I'm good. I feel like my status as your friend is getting undermined every week.
No, you're always someone I know at the very least.
That's true.
We're talking about Tangled the series, and we're talking about episode 13 and 14, am I right?
Yes, we are.
We got songs!
We have a song!
The songs are back!
We have a song!
So what's the first episode? What is it? The Wrath of Ruthless Ruth?
Wrath of Ruthless Ruth.
All right, what happens in this episode?
So Rapunzel's dad is like, hey, my daughter is going on adventures behind my back.
You might even say Tangled Adventures.
Yeah. You might plug the title of the show as you mentioned the adventures. Yes. And so Rapunzel's dad is like, hey, you need more guards, my daughter, like right now, because she's going to go outside the kingdom. I have a feeling she doesn't. Spoiler alert. She never did, so...
Yeah, helicopter parents are bad.
They are bad. I think Rapunzel, Clancy Brown needs to learn a lesson here. King Clancy Brown over here. Anyway, so Rapunzel's running away, and the captain of the guard is chasing her, and they end up at the Snuggly Duckling, which is the bar from the movie.
Hey,
which
yeah.
Appeared periodically in this show, but it's been so unimportant, we don't mention it. So, just a random setting half the time.
Hey, yeah, it's like the Cheers bar. Like, you don't mention the Cheers bar every week.
Yeah, we need to go back to the criminals who are not arrested. Even the kingdom of beer is very strange with its justice system. So,
yes.
Very strange. But anyway, they get stuck in this bar because Captain the Guard asshole decides to ruin a bat that is containing the spirit of a ghost named Ruthless Ruth. I think that's the premise.
Which, yes, fantastic.
Good
so-
premise.
Do you know who Ruthless Ruth is played by?
Danielle Brooks.
Okay, and do you know anything else they've been in?
Peacemaker?
Yeah, they're in Peacemaker. They're
and also
in...
Orange is the New Black.
But most excitedly, for me at least, okay. She is about to, or sorry, they are about to be in the new Color Purple movie as Sophia.
Ooh, that's exciting.
I am so excited for that movie. Their voice, incredible. I am very pumped for that to fucking knock my socks off. Have you listened to the Color Purple album before?
No. I've seen a little bit of Cynthia Erivo singing that one song at the Tonys when I came across random musical theater compilations I watch when I'm really tired. So...
let me just say it like this. We'll probably do our episode on that on Patreon when that movie comes out next year.
I will listen to the soundtrack then.
Because Andrew got us into trouble when we covered that episode, so I'm just gonna steer a little clear of that when that happens.
Oh no, oh no, oh no.
Nothing too bad. I just remember getting a lot of emails.
Oh god. Is it as bad as your German pronunciations from Tom?
Oh yeah, how fucking dare I?
How dare you try to pronounce a different language?
Yeah, my Midwestern twang couldn't handle the fucking German dictums.
I was there for that episode too, and I was like, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. The thing is, you never know how much trouble you're going to get in when you're recording it. And then exactly. You put it out there and it's like, oh yeah. No, why didn't I think of it? But Andrew is basically just the point. He's like, I didn't feel much emotion for this. It just wasn't for me. Not something I attached to. And everyone's like, you should have done better. And I was like, yeah, I probably should have.
I mean, whatever. Andrew has his opinion. It's just.
Yeah. But the problem with the musicals with cheese specifically is a lot of folks ignore the words coming out of my mouth and focus on his. Like, we have one person that, like, periodically, every couple of weeks, re-reviews the show on iTunes so it hops the top of the list, where they just say, the Diana episode was really offensive to me because they diminished, like, rich people having mental health issues. And I was like, yeah, Andrew did that. And I'm also on the show like, Andrew, you're wrong. That is not the way that should be. But they tend to just ignore that I'm there sometimes.
Yeah, you gotta listen to clarifications, people. Like,
well, not even clarifications. Like, Andrew has an opinion, I have an opinion. Neither one of us represents the show. We are a collective.
Yeah, like, you have an opinion, Andrew's opinion, Bree has an opinion. Like,
yeah, you have an opinion.
Yeah, I have an opinion. We all have opinions. This is what podcasts are. They're just opinions.
Yeah, we're not a proper review show, which
no.
I really don't ever want to be called that, to be honest.
No, I just we're just talking.
We're just an impression show, and we've changed opinions like 4 episodes later than we recorded the original episode. Yeah. It happens a lot with the way that we do this.
You have an opinion in the moment, and then you think about it for like a couple days, and then you change. Like.
Yeah, like there's some things I would go back on quite a bit. Like Next to Normal, I defended that about, like, Andrew made a point, like, it's kind of anti, like, getting help. It really kind of says that you should just, like, stop taking drugs and go off into the wilderness, which I don't think is healthy. And I was like, I don't know, it's a thing. And now I'm listening back, I was like, Andrew was totally right there.
Yeah.
I should.
Yeah. No, there's a lot about Next to Normal that's like, wow, therapy is bad.
They're just trying to hurt you.
Yeah, we gave her electroshock, and then she forgot everything.
Is that really happened? Is that a thing that happens?
I think that happens. I don't know. I don't really watch Next Normal in a while, so.
So let's look back to Tangled.
This is
Evil
Dead.
Dead parody.
This is Evil Dead. Before we started recording, Jess was like, let's talk about Evil Dead.
I mean, I love Evil Dead. I watched Evil Dead 2 literally yesterday because yeah. Blank Check is covering Sam Raimi.
Ooh.
And anytime there's anything Sam Raimi in my life, I have to rewatch all of his films.
Yeah.
He is one of those few filmmakers that even his bad films are really fun to watch.
Like, I've been meaning to watch Drag Me to Hell for years, even though I know it's really bad. But like...
No, Drag Me to Hell is amazing. What are you talking
really?
About?
Okay, I've heard mixed things about Drag Me to Hell. I own it on DVD. I bought it for $1, so like...
It is a Sam Raimi film, which in the mid-2000s, people were like, what is this? And I'm like, it's perfect is what
it's
it is.
Sam Raimi movie. That's what it is.
Watch Raimi's Evil Dead 2 and then tell me that this is not right in the same... fucking ballpark.
What I saw The Batman in theaters a couple weeks ago with my partner, and there was a trailer for the Doctor Strange movie in front of that.
Yeah,
and
I
the entire
that.
Time I was like, who's and I saw in the middle of it direct from the director of Evil Dead, and I was like, this isn't a Sam Raimi movie, this is a Marvel movie. Stop claiming it's an Evil Dead, a Sam Raimi movie. Shut up, Marvel.
I don't think you could ever take the Sam Raimi out of a Sam Raimi movie, no matter how much, like, that's the thing. He has had films taken away from him and re-edited, and the thing is, you cannot remove the Sam Raimi from his films.
That is a good point. But also, like, every Marvel trailer feels like the same movie, and no matter what high-end director you tell me directed it, it all feels like the same goddamn thing.
I'd say... In phases 2 and 3, I agree with you.
Yeah.
But phase 1, you had real directors. You had Joe Johnston. You had Kenneth Branagh.
Branagh directed Thor.
I know.
I really like Thor as well. I was going to say Thor 2, but that would claim I like Thor the Dark World, which I don't. So I don't.
Yeah. Then you got the middle things where James Gunn's the only one. And then you got a Taika. And then everyone else is just trying to mock Joss Whedon's style,
yeah.
Which was the style was no style.
Yeah,
and now I think we're coming back around to where they're giving it back to like high profile directors.
Yeah.
Where
but it all feels like a Russo range. Brothers production.
But you know what? Like, I don't want to. I just saw Everything Everywhere All at Once.
I have not seen
weekend.
It yet. I've heard it's like one of the best movies ever.
It is. And you know what the first card after the film's over is?
What?
Produced by Anthony and Joe Russo. So I was like, okay.
Smart men, those two.
I feel like they don't get enough credit. I think they're just better producers than they are directors.
Yeah. I heard Cherry isn't good. So.
Yeah. Yeah. But I love
Apple TV. I could have seen it by now, but I just don't care.
But I love what they did with Community. Like, Community is one of the best shows ever, and I feel like they get diminished in comparison to Dan Harmon there. Yeah. I'm very interested in Doctor Strange because, A, the Sam Raimi of it all. Who doesn't love Sam Raimi? He's literally one of the best directors to ever walk the earth, with a distinct style and goofy. Like, the Raimi movies, the Spider-Man Raimi films are so important that you can just rip those motherfuckers out of there, put them in a new movie, and we're all going to see it because we just love those.
Spider-Man
originals.
3, a lot of aspects of it are really goddamn good. Like, everything with the Sandman, like, that's great.
I think the problem with Spider-Man 3 is that people just grew up, like, a little too fast.
Yeah.
And they forgot like how goofy Spider-Man 1 and 2 were, and then by the time Spider-Man 3 came out, it's like, oh, this is goofy. I was like, all of them are goofy. Where were you when the first one happened?
Well, there was a 2-year gap between the first two, and then like a 3 to 4 year gap between those. So the gap's a little wider, so people forgot quicker. I think that might have been a part of it. It's like how like Bridgerton season 2 is getting like highly praised because it's been 2 years since the first season came out, and people are been mad at it because of the discourse. So season 2 is like, oh, this is great now. Thank you, Bridgerton.
Yeah. I feel like people. But that being said, I am hoping that they're going to bring in some interesting directors into Marvel again. Because Sam Raimi, best director, one of the best directors ever living. They got I didn't love the Loki show, but I thought the writing was pretty good in it. And they got the guy that wrote all of Loki to write this film.
Oh, okay. So that'll be weird as hell. Okay, got it.
Yes, with a weird as hell director at the helm. Like, I don't want another.
Actively don't give a shit about Doctor Strange, and I might actually go see this.
That's how I felt. I did not care about this film until they announced Sam Raimi was directing it.
It's like when Ant-Man was announced, like, oh, Edgar Wright's directing it, and then it wasn't Edgar Wright. Yeah. I'm just like, okay, I don't care anymore.
As soon as Edgar Wright was gone, I had zero interest in Ant-Man.
And I saw it. It was actually pretty good, but like...
It's fine. It's a fine movie.
It's perfectly adequate. But anyway,
directed
Tangled.
Directed by Edgar Wrong.
Tangled.
Yes. So they rip off Sam Raimi in this.
This is an Evil Dead parody.
Yes. There's a ghost named Ruthless Ruth that just wants people to hear her song.
Yeah, she doesn't, and they think she killed a bunch of people, and that's why there's a bunch of dashes on her club of murder. But no, they were music annotations.
Yeah. I don't know. I think this is a great use of Rapunzel as a character, finally. Yeah. Like, we talk about how she's kind of fridge for a good majority of the show, and it's like, this is her using her plucky demeanor to solve a problem in an effective way.
Yeah, and the captain of the guard is like, we need to defeat this with brute force. And it's like, no, Rapunzel's like, we need to do this with kindness, which is the correct route.
Yeah, listening.
Which shows that she's actually listening about the problem. Like, Rapunzel's a very sweet character, and Mandy Moore is very sweet portraying her. Mandy Moore's really good in this show. We don't talk about it a ton, but Mandy Moore's really good.
The problem is they don't let her shine, and this is an episode that really lets her shine.
Yeah, this is the first episode in a while where Cassandra or Eugene are both not here.
Which is fine. I get why they're making that choice.
Which I liked a lot, actually.
Down the road, why they front-loaded Cassandra, Eugene, and all the side characters, James Monroe, Eichelhart. Like, we're setting them up so we don't have to later.
Yeah, but now we can just get back to the character we already met for an entire movie. And we already know her pretty goddamn well.
And then we see her fight a ghost. Like, who would have thunk?
Rapunzel fights a ghost.
That could have been the title. I'm like, all right, I'm sold.
It's like, think about it, Ruthless Ruth has no actual pupils, which reminds me of the terrible contacts from Evil Dead. So this is just super Evil Dead now.
Yeah. The terrible... Have you ever watched, like, the raw behind-the-scenes footage of Evil Dead?
Yeah, I have, yeah. I worked on Evil Dead the Musical in college, so I had to watch it. I had a party with the cast and crew watching it. We just like, I looked at behind the scenes footage later, like, oh my god, this is a disaster.
Like, I just see them like, I'll swallow your soul. I can't do this forever, Sam. Like, in so much pain.
Sam, help me.
Like, and then they're like trying to get out of the hole, and they smack their head on the big 2x4. Like, Another one's like hoisted above, and they're like, ah, like I can't breathe. Please get me down. And I'm like, these are children making movies and nearly killing their actors.
It really is. And Bruce Campbell's just living. He's just like, I don't got to wear these stupid contacts.
Well, no, he broke his ankle.
That's
and
true.
Like, he's wearing moccasins throughout the entire shoot. And then Sam Raimi's just poking his ankle so he limps more.
Oh, Sam.
He's known for, like, antagonizing his lead actors. Like,
yeah.
Like, for Tobey Maguire, he would just throw things at him just to be a dick.
I remember he did a Benedict Cumberbatch.
I'm sure he did.
What do you call him? A Cabbage Patch Kid or something? Benedict Cumberbund.
He also threw real manure at Russell Crowe during the Quick and the Dead, which is another movie that fucks. That movie's amazing. I just watched that this week, and fuck, that movie's great.
I don't know what that is.
Sharon Stone as a fucking cowboy badass gunslinger coming to get revenge on Gene Hackman. Leo DiCaprio's in the movie.
That is
Keith David's
weird
in the movie.
As hell. That is so weird. I'm writing this down because I don't want to look it up because my mouse is noisy.
Yeah, don't look it up. Just watch it raw. That movie was so good, and I wish more films felt and looked like that today.
Good to know. But yeah.
Like, oh, Russell Crowe too.
Oh, Russell Crowe.
Don't forget Russell. Russell Crowe is so hot in that movie. Hold on, we're gonna find a picture of Russell Crowe, and
I never thought anyone would say Russell Crowe was hot in any sentence in my lifetime. Russell Crowe is not hot.
He has like perfect 90s hair in this movie. Like,
okay, if this is 90s Russell Crowe, then maybe. Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater. SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Yeah, hold on. Let me share this tab.
I think the main thing I know about Russell Crowe is him being in saying, "I'm Javert."
I'm Javert. Do not
and that one episode of South Park where he has a travel show and he's just constantly punching everybody.
Around the world.
Oh, he is handsome.
Look at this man. This is a man.
I am compelled.
Yeah, everything about this.
He looks like fucking Joey from Blossom.
we cut the present day, Russell Crowe.
What a transformation.
Yeah, that's how I think I'll transform one day. I think I'll just look like Russell Crowe present day.
He has perfect, like, Jonathan Taylor Thomas hair. Like, yeah. 90s young boy hair.
Yeah, and then you have Leonardo DiCaprio looking like an infant. Like, looking like an actual baby boy in this movie. But he has, like, sex with Sharon Stone, and it's great because she's, like, 50 in the movie. And he's just casually fucking him.
That's disgusting.
This movie is great.
This giving me vibes of Interview with the Vampire when Kirsten Dunst's first kiss was at 14 with Brad Pitt.
In that movie, it almost works a little better because the context matters in that
scene. Context is good because I know she's an ageless vampire, so, like, I get it. It's just the idea of the behind the scenes, like, hey, Kristen, you're going to kiss this man.
You haven't seen Eternals yet, have you?
No,
I don't. Well, then you've got the little girl in that movie, which turns out to be an ageless person, but the only one forced to be in a body of a little girl, so she can't go out and fuck, and she's jealous of everyone that can go out and fuck. And that's
giving me number five vibes from a Umbrella Academy, where he's just like, why am I a kid?
And then the spoilers for Eternals, the little girl's like, I want to become a human and die someday so I can. And I'm like, that's our resolution?
You know, Eternals sounds weird as hell.
Yeah, it's all about a bunch of geriatric robots trying to cause an abortion. It's great.
That should have been the tagline. I would have watched it.
It takes a while to get there, but that's the plot of it. They're just trying to stop something from being born inside Earth and killing the planet.
I'm very behind on relevant Disney movies. Like, I watched half of Turning Red, and I forgot to finish it, and I still haven't seen Luca, and I still haven't
Luca's
seen...
Luca's so cute.
I watched a little bit of Luca. It was adorable. And then I realized I couldn't watch because I had to focus on something else. And I was like, God damn it. Okay, I guess I gotta actually focus. I was trying to Photoshop something. So I put Luca on and I was just like, well, I don't know how to Photoshop this. So I can't watch Luca anymore. Bye.
All right. So she resolves it by letting them play Ruthless Ruth's song.
Which is called Listen Up.
And this song by Alan Menken, so good. This song is really good.
It's the first time I've had a song that wasn't the theme song stuck in my head for many weeks. I have this song stuck in my head now. So.
Yeah. I mean, every week I just have, I got the wind in my hair.
Sometimes I wake up in the morning and that's the first thing I hear in my head. I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah, it's better than the, I got my son opening wide. But
the party in the USA knockoff Menken wrote in 2 minutes, probably.
Yeah.
Just like, we need a song for the closing credits, Alan. Like, okay, I wrote the song I wrote when I was drunk. Here you go. Good luck.
But yeah, this episode's really good.
Listen Up is a great song. I recommend looking it up.
Yeah, you probably heard it when the episode opened because there's only so many songs I could use as the opening title and I'm real sick of, I got the wind in my hair.
Oh, you have to listen to it more than me. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Let's move on to Max's Enemy.
Yeah, is that what it's called?
I think so, because that's a recurring
theme. Yeah, that's what it's called.
Here.
It's a terrible title.
Well, because it's playing off of Rapunzel's enemy and
from the candy store episode. Wow, we've been watching the show for so long, I forgot about that episode.
I think that's a recurring thing that they're going to try to throw in here, whenever they meet someone they don't like, they'll just call it whoever's enemy.
That's
or maybe
true.
It's just a lazy title, I don't know.
I don't know, maybe, it's fun. It's like how Friends has always the one with the blah titles.
Or like how Scrubs has my titles.
Or Curtis's girlfriend is like, I am whatever, and Rebecca whatever, or Josh whatever. That's the title.
I love Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I've been on a little bit of a Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, like, streak lately.
Yeah. Here, Jess texted me a couple days ago, randomly. I have no idea why. It was the morning.
And it had been a minute since we had talked to
him. It had been a while. Like,
you could have been very angry at me for some reason. I wouldn't have known it.
We'd barely talked. It was fine. But Jeff texted me. He's just like, who's better, Santino Greg or Skylar Aston Greg? I'm just like, Santino Greg can settle for me. Why?
Because I've been rewatching and I had like a What'll It Be back to back where Santino and then Skylar Aston, What'll It Be? And
Santino's
I'm like,
is better.
Yeah, but Skylar has just a kinder face.
I love Skylar's. I've had a crush on him since 2012, so I totally get it. So I saw Pitch Perfect in theaters with my parents because they were like, do you want to see Seven Psychopaths or Pitch Perfect? And I'm like, Seven Psychopaths, but we saw Pitch Perfect instead. I don't know why. And ever since then, I have a giant crush on Skylar Astin. Every time I see him anything, I have a giant crush on him.
You've missed, you mispronounced Ben Platt's name. You want to take that again?
Okay, sorry. Ben Platt. I forgot Ben Platt was in Pitch Perfect until I saw Dear Evan Hansen.
That was the first time I saw Ben Platt, and I was like, man, that fella has an interesting face.
That's my thought, too. It was like, wow, this weird roommate, he is a weird roommate. And that was the only thought I had about Ben Platt that entire movie.
But then I remembered that weird face, and I saw him in the Book of Mormon tour, and I was like, hey, it's the guy with the weird face.
The guy from Pitch Perfect with the weird face.
And then he went right from Book of Mormon into Dear Evan Hansen, and then he became the bane of my existence. He became
every musical
my
theater content
creator's demon.
Demon that just exists in the back of their head.
Yes. He is my enemy, just like Max's enemy was this new black horse.
Yes. So
George
Bush
does not care about black horses.
So Maximus, as you recall, is a white horse.
Yeah.
His enemy, Axel, is a black horse.
I think he might just be racist.
I think Max is hot take. Max from Tangled is racist against.
Yeah, this is my think piece for BuzzFeed.com. Max from Tangled is actually a white supremacist. In this essay, I will explain.
The video's 2 hours long.
Why was it 9/11 mentioned in Turning Red?
Oh my god, I saw that this morning. I saw Kate liked it, Kate Robinson, movie chick, and was like, I watched it. I was like, what the hell? What does 9/11 have to do with Turning Red?
I don't know about you, but I think a red panda could have stopped a jet fuel from melting steel beams, in my opinion.
This is turning into a conspiracy corner. Well, Max, Max is a racist. Turning Red is about 9/11.
No, it should have been.
Should have been about 9/11.
But no one ever brings up that Captain America went back to the 1940s and didn't stop 9/11.
Why didn't Captain America stop 9/11?
He could have just punched the plane out of the air.
Yeah. But awesome. He might have been too old by then.
Or, you know, he could have sent a guy named Tony Stank who's, like, building a bunch
Tony
of missiles.
Stank! Is that Tony Stark's cousin no one likes?
No, that's what Stan Lee calls him in Infinity or Civil War.
Oh, I haven't seen Civil War.
Yeah, he's like, I'm looking for Tony Stank.
Oh, I'm very behind a lot of Marvel movies. I still haven't seen Civil War, and it's 2022.
I feel like you've caught up on it. You get the vibe of what happened.
I've seen all the Avengers movies. It's fine.
That one basically is an Avengers film.
Yeah, I don't know. I read about the premise, and then I saw the Spider-Man movie, so I got the point. But
yeah,
anyway, Max might be a racist.
Yes, yeah, so Black Horse comes in much better at him than everything. Black Horse is actually owned by a thief.
And more importantly, Jess's crush is back.
Yes, I forgot! Lady Kane!
Jess's true love is back. Link. Can someone please write Jess Lady Kane fan fiction on this Patreon?
I literally screamed when she came back, to be honest.
Like, no, someone please write Jess Lady Kane fan fiction.
No, they're going to turn into me Jess Jeff Scott Carey fan fiction somehow. Thanks, Juliet.
Shout out to Juliet, who doesn't even listen to these.
No. We should have them on, though. We should
Yeah, we should ask them.
I'll leave that to you. You should ask them.
I'll message them.
All right. But yeah, I love Laura Benanti. I would literally take a bullet for that woman.
Yeah, no, like, so at the top of the episode, like, they fake a heist to make people think Axel's heroic. So then the Rapunzel and everyone else is in love with Axel because he's like the best horse ever that ever horsed. So, and then Mr. Peanut Butter Man says his name is Oat Bag. And that was the funniest, that was a very funny joke to me. I just wanted to point out, I like that joke.
What's the joke?
Axel has a bag on him that says Oat Bag. And they're like, what's your name, horsey? And Paul F. Tompkins is like, his name is Oat Bag. And I'm just like, I thought that was funny. But yeah, they fake a heist. And then Axel, like, somehow connives his way into taking a bunch of money out of Corona, because that's how they deal with money in this kingdom.
Yeah, they just send it out of the kingdom, I guess.
I guess they do it mildly unprotected, and they just get a random horse to do it instead of their most trusted horse. But
yeah,
Maximus sucks now.
So. Yeah, Maximus is an old horse. They're gonna shoot him any day. Like, that's the subtext of this. It's like, man, you've outgrown your use.
You're useless, Maximus. He literally has a dream where everyone hates him.
Time to go to the glue factory.
Oh no. Also, I just want to put Axel tries to steal his woman, who is that horse from the pilot movie that never gets mentioned.
Hey, it was nice to see her again.
There's just a silent montage of them, like, having friend time, and he's just stealing his woman. Like, no, that's my horse. It's my horse. Maximus is getting cucked.
Yeah, canon confirmed.
Maximus is cucked.
Yeah. And then turns out, evil horse, Maximus saves the day by being slightly better one time.
Yeah. And, like, the heist is orchestrated by this one character we never met, and I didn't bother to write down this character's name because they don't think they even say it.
Yeah.
But then they break him, Axel breaks him out of prison, and then you hear Laura Benanti's beautiful voice in the back, and you're just like,
yes, Lady Kane.
She was not set up as being in the episode prior, so no. It was legitimately a jump scare. Just like, Laura Benanti's back.
And then she comes in, swings on in, saves, like, basically betrays everyone, which is like, queen.
Yeah. Well, actually, Axel betrays her first.
Queen.
Axel just gets scared of the money and just abandons Lady Kane. And Lady Kane gets like pinned under a tree, and then he's like, "Hey, Ma-" and she's like, "Hey, Maximus, I'm in need of a horse." Maximus like, "Bitch, no."
Bitch, are you for real?
Bitch, no. I'm the best horse. Don't even.
Yeah, I feel bad for Maximus, but also, you know what? Fine. Get out of there. I got to see Lady Kane again.
I just got to see Lady Kane. He's living his best life.
I'm always living my best life. Laura Benanti's in it, to be honest.
Yeah. I feel like you picked the show just so I had more Laura Benanti exposure in my life.
Call me a simp, but...
I will.
Yeah, because I am. I have been.
You're a Lady Kane simp.
I remember... Yeah. Laura Benanti, I've liked her since before she had a husband the first time. Now she's got a new husband and a child. Like, still following her. Still a big fan.
I donate money to Laura Benanti on Twitch, and she said my name, and now I'm in love with her.
I wrote her manager to have her on the show, and it was a hard no. It was great. 10 out of 10.
Oh, no.
But what was your cheese rating on these episodes?
They're both good. Lady Kane was back. Strongbow was in it for some reason.
Oh yeah, they saved the day because they're thieves. And thieves,
yeah, Strongbow's thieves, here. So. Strongbow just shows up randomly. So like, I guess James Minor Agalhart is a mixed schedule. Anyway, I like both these episodes. I like the evil deadness of the first one. Yeah. Even though I didn't notice the evil deadness until you pointed it out. And I liked how I like the silent moments of like act comedy in this show. They're all very good. Gives me vibes of that one BoJack Horseman episode that's all quiet.
Yeah,
well done.
Can I tell you something? That's where I stopped watching BoJack Horseman because I couldn't handle the silence.
Oh dear, I'm kidding.
I haven't picked it back up. It's like only Murders in the Building. There's one episode that takes entirely from a deaf person's point of view, which very clever, very cool.
About that. Well, the series. The whole, not that episode,
but literally I stopped the show and didn't come back for another 2 weeks because I'm like, this seems like work.
Yeah, I get that. No, I watched The Dropout on Hulu. They'd have those moments, but times it was work. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to watch The Girl from Plainville, which is so many Glee moments, let me tell you. Michelle Carty loved Glee, guys.
Glee sucks, guys.
Yeah. I have a weird soft spot in my heart for Glee, but because I watched it as a kid. But yeah. Anyway, cheese.
Yes.
I like both. I'm going to give the Ruthless Ruth episode, I'm going to give it a Michigan cheese because Evil Dead.
Fair.
And I'm going to give, my cheese ratings are not creative on these. I know that, but it's fun. And I'm going to give the horse episode enemy to friends cheese.
Fair enough.
You eat cheese with your enemies and then you become friends.
That's fair enough. So I'm gonna give the first episode garlic bread recipe, specifically from a book that I own, which is the Necronomnomnom, which has a lot of horror themed recipes. So amazing. This is cheese bread from the Necronomnomnom.
Amazing.
Then I'm just gonna give the second one horse cheese.
Yeah, not horse glue cheese, I hope.
No. Nothing like that. But you know what? We got only a few more episodes left in season one. We're wrapping up pretty quick. Season one. We might have to do a full-on season review after we do that. Because what do we got? We got the two-parter. And about 10 more episodes.
Yeah, about. It's like 21 episodes total, and we're gonna reach episode 16.
So we're more than halfway done.
Yeah, we have 5 left.
Wow, ain't that America?
It's the most American thing in the world. Podcast about Disney show.
Yeah, just talk to Tony Goldmark. He knows all about that. But cool. You know what? Let's call it a day. We'll see you next time on Patreon with Cheese. Say goodbye, Liz.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Listen up. Listen close. You're disgusting, old, and gross. But your song is quite strong. Listen up. Listen up. Listen up. Everybody raise your cup. It's the root. That's the truth. Listen up. Listen up. Listen up. Listen up. Listen up. Yeah!
That was great!
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Suffs celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.